You know, the 1 Timothy 4:14 says, don't neglect the spiritual gift that's in you. Don't neglect it. There is a, you know, a thing in Romans 12 that says, you know, if you teach, then give yourself to teaching. If you prophesy, give yourself to prophesying. There's nothing wrong with actually putting yourself before God and saying, God, I know these particular gifts have been put in my life. I have to, you know, when I get up and teach, people say, wow, that's just really something. That's such a gift. But you know what kind of work goes into getting that gift to do what it does? It's a lot of work. The Bible talks about working hard at teaching, working hard at preaching. So I labor in it. I labor in the Word and in teaching because that's what I know God has given me to do. The worship side of things for me is almost effortless. It's a part of my life. It's a part of what I am before God. I worship God. I adore God. And so if you notice, when I lead worship, I don't cheerlead. I worship God, and I figure if you want to come along, let's all do it together. And isn't it excellent to be in the presence of God in a collective situation? I mean, just the presence of God. To me, people say, what's worship? Worship is to be in the presence of God and to give Him adoration and to offer Him thanksgiving and praise and exaltation. And I just love the way that happens with us, to be honest with you. It's just a very special thing to me that we worship. So with the gifts of God, don't neglect them. Secondly, stir them up. The Greek is actually fan it into a flame. It's like these smoldering, like embers, yeah, and you have to fan it into a flame. And so how do you do that? Well, you do that just by seeking God in prayer and saying, God, I want these gifts to be operating through me, the ones that you've given through me. And then there's 1 Corinthians 12:31. Mike mentioned chapter 14, verse 1, they kind of say the same thing about being zealous for the gifts. Surely make love your aim. That's what you're supposed to be. Because the gifts don't work properly through people who don't walk in love. When people are operating in selfish ambition, the very gifts of God can end up being something that will damage people more than help people. It's the weirdest thing, but it's really true. When there's that kind of, and there is this kind of perversion that goes on in the body of Christ that says, wherever there is selfish ambition and jealousy in operation, you will have strife, you will have disorder, and every evil thing. I've often wondered, God, why could people get more hurt in the church than they even did in the world? Because selfish ambition is that destructive. And so we want to be people who walk in love. We don't want that kind of junk in our hearts driving us. We've seen too much of it. We've seen what it does and what it continues to do. We want to be a people of another order who walk in love. But as we walk in love, we must realize then that Jesus ascended on high and gave gifts to men. And these gifts are given for a purpose. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 says it's for the common good. I have been taking this very seriously as of late. We need to take this seriously, and we need to take all aspects of what I'm saying seriously. We need to be what God's made us to be and not something else. And we really need to see that the reason these gifts are given to us as a stewardship is for the common good. This is for the health of the body. It's literally the building up of this beautiful temple that Jesus is building that becomes God's dwelling place. Think about that. You're a part of that. It cannot happen without you. And so Paul says, you know, in Romans 12, if your gift is teaching, then get on with the teaching. If it's prophesying, then that's your gift and focus on that. If it's exhortation, do exhortation. If it's, you know, and it is difficult because we're not perfect, and we have sometimes wrong things that drive us. And you see, I've seen this throughout my life, exhorters trying to be teachers and teachers trying to be exhorters, because exhorters are always more popular than teachers. You know, they encourage people. You see prophets trying to be apostles and what have you. And there's a certain disorder that comes out of that. We must really know from God. Paul says, have sound judgment about this, what I've been made to be. Because, see, the thing is reality is all going to come to light at the judgment seat. What you really were supposed to be doing, what you really were given, will all be made manifest at that point. So let's get on with knowing what that is. Let's just real quickly write these verses down so we can pray along these lines. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, gives us a list of, I believe, 7 gifts that we should pray we should seek for to be in operation in the body? What are some of those gifts that we don't talk about a lot of times? We talk about teachers, prophets, apostles. Everybody wants to be one. Not really. Not if you really know what it is. I'm not sure. But what about gifts of mercy? Did you know the Bible teaches all of us are to be generous and to be givers, but some have a gift in giving? Some have actually a gift, which would imply to me that God gives them an ability to obtain wealth so that they have extra resources to pour out upon the ministry, for the ministry of the gospel and for the poor. That's always what extra giving is about, is to help the poor and to help the furtherance of the projects of the gospel, whether it be an orphanage in Africa or whatever it might be. I pray the day comes where this overflows out of this place. But some have actually a gift in that. What about in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of helps? We need a gift of helps. I know I need a lot of help with what I do. I need helpers. I need people who have that Holy Spirit anointing on their life to come alongside and assist someone else in what they're doing. Some people find great joy in doing that. And there's really high honor in doing that. We kind of tend to downplay these things as though, oh, that's that kind of like non-public gift. And no, is this very important to the work of the gospel? So anyway, 1 Corinthians 12 has a list of 9 gifts in verses 8 through 10. So we have 7 in Romans 12. We have 9 in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. And then another list of gifts beginning in verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Then there's Ephesians 4, 11. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I think there's 4 there. Pastors and teachers go together in the Greek construction. But if you want to make it 5, I'm happy with 5 as well. So we've got a lot of gifts there. Amen?
Yeah.
And I see nothing to indicate that we should not be asking the Lord for the full operation of those gifts. Where are the effecting of miracles? Where is the gift of faith? Where is the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom? We need to see all of these gifts. And Paul even says, seek earnestly for the greater gifts. Now, I'm not sure, he doesn't go on and define what the greater gifts are. But certainly we need foundational ministries to lay the foundation for the church to be built. We need all of the gifts to be in operation for God's work to be done. What's the goal of it? Is to bring the church to be a full-grown man. I just wonder what it's going to be like to actually be witnessing the church operating in the fullness of Christ, in the measure of stature belonging to the fullness of Christ. That's in character and in gifts as well. That's God's goal for us. So, I leave you with that exhortation today. Let's stir up those gifts.